In our overpopulated world, it is easy to underestimate the significance of one. It is easy to underestimate the value of you, your vote, your convictions, your determination to say, "I stand against this." I was only 9 years old when my dad crossed a picket line. It was during World War II when our country desperately needed the efforts of every factory worker. In the midst of this, the Machinists' Union had the audacity to go on strike. But my father's national patriotism and love for his family were greater than his loyalty to the Union, so he was willing to be called a scab, and a host of other insulting obscenities, for his convictions. I remember his driving our 41 Ford into the yard at the end of the day with a broken windshield and other smashed windows, and eggs running down the side. This left an indelible impression on my 9-year-old mind, and on my 11-year-old sister and my 12-year-old brother. We learn that some things are important enough to make us stand alone, even when friends don't understand or coworkers disagree. What does it matter if I get involved or not? It matters greatly. It matters to your character. Yes, it's true that God has other ways to accomplish his objectives. He has other people he can use. He isn't frustrated or restrained because you and I may be indifferent. But when that happens, we are the losers. When we have been called for such a time as this, how tragic if we are not there to stand in that hour. There will be no celestial shout urging you to take a stand. Nor will a flash of lightning awaken you in the midst of your slumber. It doesn't work like that, so don't sit around waiting passively. Numerous needs and issues surround us. They summon us to stand up and be counted. While we will not be able to respond to all of them, the solution is not to respond to any of them. So let me ask you, what are you doing to stand up, to stand alone, to answer the call of God in this hour? Allow me to spell out a few issues and needs worth considering. Are you involved in helping dysfunctional families? How about those who are homeless and hungry, or those who are addicted to drugs and/or alcohol? What do you do for the orphans and widows? In such a time as this, what do you stand against and stand for? Do you take a stand against pornography? Do you support any part of the cause of the pro-life movement against abortion? Where do you stand as it relates to the absence of masculinity, the whole extreme feminist movement, or prejudice against other races or nationalities? What about the developmentally disabled? This is an hour of need. Are you there, ready to be salt and light in such an hour? Is there not a cause? What do you do to fight crime in your community, the battering of wives or the mistreatment of children? You say, "Well, I don't believe in marching. I don't believe in blocking the way to abortion clinic." All right, I respect your convictions. But what will you do in place of that? Have you opened your home to an unwed mother? I'm not suggesting that you do it someone else's way. I'm simply urging, do something. Be counted. In the PTA meeting, stand up and say, "I vote against it. I stand for this, against for that." If you perish, you perish. But I seriously doubt you'll be martyred. If you are, big deal. Absent from the body, at home with the Lord. At least you died for a cause worth fighting for. Two primary principles emerge from this passage. While they may be easy to read, they aren't easy to apply. But I dare you. First, not until we believe one person can make a difference will we be willing to risk. Do you remember the fourth stanza of the hymn, "God of Grace and God of Glory"? Set our feet on lofty places, gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces in the fight to set men free. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, that we fail not man nor thee, that we fail not man nor thee.